taking us through a rather complicated but very important topic, and thank you for making it simple and clear. And you know, the title of the conference is Positioning for the Rebound, so I think everybody's hoping that shipping markets are about to turn for much better. But in the meantime, I think restructuring is always an option for some of the companies that are looking for a new beginning. So I will kindly ask Robert Burns, the partner from Breslin and Giuliani, to come and deliver to us a presentation on exactly restructuring opportunity as a new beginning. And thank you for being with us.
Nicholas.
Thank you. Morning. Thank you very much for having me here. One of the earlier panels on private equity asked a somewhat rhetorical question as to whether their panel would be here in 2 years or whether private equity would flee or no longer be interested in the space. And for most, maybe all of the folks in here, I hope my panel is also short-lived, maybe only a year or two longer. That would be good for the industry. Unfortunately, the fact of the matter as we stand here today is that restructuring is still alive. There is still distress in the industry, and therefore, given some of the dynamics I'm going to discuss in here, I believe my speech is still quite relevant. As Nicholas said, we know the topic of the seminar today is whether there is a rebound. Certainly, when we say positioning for rebound, it would indicate it has not happened yet. I won't opine on when or whether the industry will rebound, and leave that to many others here. What I will introduce to you, though, however, that suggests or makes suggestions about the state of the industry is a market approach. And at this time, as some of these quotes would indicate, the shipping sector is a very hot sector amongst distressed debt investors in the United States. And I think this means several things. Glance at the slides here. In the first instance, I think we have willing sellers, the banks, and this is a quote from a friend of mine who ran a shipping portfolio for one of the major shipping banks for 20 years, so I leave that for what it is. So we have willing sellers, we have willing buyers, as the previous slide shows. With the shift in the ownership in the debt comes a very new dynamic when it comes to restructuring objectives and strategies. And this was really the crux of my thesis and the basis for my presentation today. Again, willing buyers and willing sellers. The buyers, and this is probably the important note, are primarily U.S.-based hedge funds and alternative asset managers. So when it comes to restructuring, they will favor a U.S. restructuring process. These processes, unlike bank restructurings of the past, will seek to recreate the company's equity structure and ownership or outright control of the assets. So this is a very different paradigm from what we have seen with banks. The idea of recreating a loan or just repackaging loan covenants is very much a secondary interest and a very lackluster interest. So the good news for many of you, I hope, is that as long as your loans are performing, you really don't have any issues, and it doesn't really matter who owns them. However, I will tell you that once there is a default, should that come to pass, the dynamics could change very quickly, as the investors that we're talking about here are very much action-oriented, and they will seek to use whatever covenants or other mechanisms there are within these loans to accelerate and execute a restructuring process. So maybe I should have said this at the beginning so you know who I am and why I'm talking here, what gives me my background. First, I began my career in the shipping industry. I learned it from the bottom up. I understand the industry dynamics quite well. I went from there to becoming a restructuring lawyer in the United States. And in addition, I spent many years as a principal in a hedge fund where, amongst other things, I initiated with the team several investments in early distressed shipping companies. So in my current capacity, I've spent a significant amount of time working with ship owners and trying to explain to them what it means when restructuring when an alternative investor comes to the table and seeks to reorganize the company. And my goal today is just to give you a very broad overview of what restructuring can mean for you. First, I think it's a reality check. I once had a German ship owner tell me very passionately at a board meeting that he would never give one bit of his company to some crazy hedge fund in New York City. And the reality is that when you enter into loan documents, when you issue debt, you've opened the door to a new partner. The idea that your debt is performing and you can pay off your loans works out well and your company survives and thrives. But if that is not the case, as everybody should know, loan documents give rights to other people. And that is, again, really comes back to the point here. When loans are not performing, there is an appetite for them, for other investors. When a new investor comes into your loan, they are going to force restructuring if the opportunity presents itself. And if you decide, you know what, I don't want to cooperate in this restructuring, they will find the vessels. That is the ultimate resort of the ultimate security in a shipping loan is access to the vessels. So I have seen this in action, and I will tell you that these investors have no fear when it comes to taking a vessel, putting it into a management platform or joint venture they may be involved with, or just really putting it to a ship manager until they can find a better home for it. So going on the thesis that there will be a restructuring, I think the question for folks is, how do you want to emerge from that restructuring? What do you want to look like on the other side? And this is a non-inclusive universe of where you could come out. As a starting point, I think in most of the cases you'll find that most, if not all, of your equity in a company may be wiped out to the extent that the debt exceeds the value of the assets or the assets are insufficient. Another stark reality that I would say is that management and existing shareholders are really just an option for a lot of these hedge funds. And I don't say that disrespectfully. I just say that as a matter of fact. I've seen so many situations where we have great management teams, where we've seen companies that have been owned by families for generations. But when it comes to the point in time where it's time to pay the banks, some of those old relationships, alliances, the building, don't matter quite as much. So if your objective is to remain a controlling shareholder, in order to do so, you can count on having to make a significant investment, which will be based solely on valuation fundamentals. In other words, what will the business be worth on a going-forward basis, either on an operating basis or the value of the assets or some other valuation? And I think you could also expect to invest on a dollar-for-dollar, side-by-side basis. The fact that you were the incumbent shareholder, that you have a lot of intrinsic knowledge, does not count for much to these investors who, again, are value and economically driven. They will treat your dollar the same as their dollar when it comes to remaining in. For some, minority shareholder may be the objective or the only reality. It's the same investment profile, be based on valuation fundamentals. I think the key focus here that I have seen is always on what are your rights as a minority shareholder. And the key point here to make is this is not a situation where a longtime business partner comes to you and says, I have a great idea to build a business. I need a little bit more capital. I would really like you to participate. And he'll give you very rich minority rights. This is the inverse. This is a new owner, if you will, coming in and saying, I could do this on my own. I have a massive amount of capital behind me. And if I don't, I could go to my friend down the street at another investment firm and get the capital I need. However, you have been here. I will recognize that. And if you want to invest, you can put your money in. But it's on my terms, not your terms. And this is something that's been I've been involved with in several deals, and it is another, I think, twist that folks don't always realize. The next is management, and this really is two forms. I've seen it as a ship owner. The equity holder is now looking at a role really merely as a CEO, which is greatly reduced from where it may have been, may no longer be a chairman of a board or may have an entirely different role. Or management in terms of incumbent management. My experience in this realm has been that investors are willing to work with existing management only if some combination of the following exists. The management team is cost effective. In other words, compensation and incentives need to be consistent with what is seen elsewhere in the public industries. There's some sort of a value proposition. Merely saying I've run these bulkers or tankers or other vessels for 20 years, I know them inside and out, doesn't resonate. And the view of these investors is they can find their own independent manager to run these, probably less expensive, or they may have, again, their own joint venture platform to put the vessels into. So you really need to show that you can do something different. You need to be commercially reasonable, and this is one that, while I'm sure everybody in this room is very reasonable, I think for whatever reason the dynamics are not always that case when the parties are across the table from each other, and I leave that to each of you to think on. And the last part is you need to be incentive driven. These funds will come in, their view is they will pay you what it takes to run a business. However, if you really want to capture the wealth and the value that's created, it will be on an incentive basis. There's no free ride, no free lunch in terms of ownership. So I've given you some background on maybe what you could expect. And I'll try to give you a little bit more on process and what I think are really strategies if you want to come through this restructuring and emerge in one of the fashions we spoke about. Each of these bullet points are very high level in nature, and I think as I was working on my slides last night, I decided that really every one of these could be its own lecture topic. The theme, again, that I would emphasize is that the underlying idea is that the restructuring to take place will be U.S. style. And that could come in the form of just a negotiation that takes place in New York lawyers' offices, or it could come in the form of a Chapter 11, which is either done as a vehicle to implement a plan that you've agreed on with creditors, or it may be a defensive action that you're forced to take as a ship owner or company to prevent aggressive lender actions. So the idea and scope of a U.S. Chapter 11 is an entire lecture series of its own. I won't even attempt to scratch the surface here. So we'll move into some of the points. Reality check, again. When isn't a restructuring inevitable? And that's something that people struggle with more often than not, and I've seen it too many times. It is very important to know when it is time to restructure, when you can no longer ignore the problem, when you no longer have a bank that's willing to work with you to push the problem down the road. I would say to you, in most cases, again, these are generalities, but time is not your friend. Yes, the markets could turn to your benefit. However, the view from the investors is an uptick in rates is an uptick in rates is temporary. Until it is very prolonged and sustained, they will view it as temporary. So you will have a difficult time trying to convince many investors that the market has turned and things are better. The longer you wait, more things will change. Your existing lenders who are friendly and are working with you today may no longer be there. And that brings me really to the last three points, which I really want to focus on. Changing dynamics. You may get a deal with your banks. They may be very reasonable. They may give you more time. But if time runs out and those banks are no longer there, and I've seen this three times recently, where the company spent a significant amount of time working with very traditional lenders on the terms of a workout, They waited too long. They were going for those last couple of, what we would say in the U.S., they were trying to get every penny off the table. And they waited too long. And what happened? Banks exited. The syndicate was no longer the same. You had new investors in there. One of the deals that I worked on, the investors, the new money said, you know what, we know you've worked with the bank for several months, but we really don't care. You were working on a new loan. We want to own the company. If you don't like that, we all own the assets. So 6 months of time, money, and effort wasted. Two others, again, there had been loan workouts on the table. And the new lenders, or excuse me, the new investors came in and said, we have a joint venture platform to run ships. We don't care about loans. We'll just take the ships. You're so far underwater, you can never refinance this debt. We'll just take the ships. Cost and expense is really self-explanatory. The restructuring process anywhere in the world is expensive. It takes time. Management diverts attention. There has been a business interruption. It is true, I'm sure, that people lose charter opportunities or other opportunities, put the vessels to work because of uncertainty. And then quite often there's a loss of key staff who just have other opportunities. They don't want to be in an unstable situation. I think the next point that will help people get through a restructuring of this style is if you do have some basic intelligence on who you're working with or working against, as the case may be. The funds that buy this debt are very sophisticated investors. Don't let them fool you. Somewhere, somehow, they've spent a lot of time, money, and effort of their own to learn this industry. They have hired industry executives. They have partnered with industry executives. They have hired bankers. They have done their work. They are not going to put billions of dollars to work without having done a significant amount of work. They are experts in the restructuring process, and this goes back to one of the main points. U.S. investors buying debt, U.S.-style restructuring. They know the process. Chances are many of you in this room have never been through any form of a U.S. restructuring. They will hire the best advisors to advise them on the U.S. process. They can afford to pay lawyers and bankers. They are very focused on an outcome. They have an investment thesis, then they are looking to execute it when they take a position in your debt. They will drive the process. In many situations dealing with the banks are looking to you, bring me a business plan, bring me some solutions, show me that you can meet this, and we might have a deal. Entirely different scenario here. These funds will drive the process. They know what they want the outcome to be, and they will come to you with what they think it should be and how they should implement it. They also, in a sense, good for you, is they want to do this on a timely basis, and they want certainty that they can execute a plan. And as I said, and I don't say it lightly, the existing ownership and management are nice to have, interesting to have, but it's really something they view as an option. When it comes to what you can do internally to manage the process, and this is maybe one of the most important slides, you have to have the right team. And I emphasize team because no one person in an organization can run one of these restructurings. Ship owners and company managers got to where they are because they're good at running a business, good at operating vessels, good at finding markets, good at finding opportunities. They are not U.S. restructuring experts, nor should they be. They can't do it alone. And it's important to find the right people to work with you on this process. Probably the most important people you can find would be on your board of directors. Many people have boards they've worked with for many years. I've found in too many circumstances the boards are not always willing to stand up and put forth the candid advice that is really required in this situation. So you may ask advisors, can you recommend a board member who's been through this so you have somebody close to work with? You need to look at your senior management. Again, probably great at what they do. But in the U.S., there's a notion of a chief restructuring officer who's somebody and really helps run the business, put the financials in a format that are going to be familiar to people who are working with you, and really allow the rest of your senior management to continue to run the business. There will be outside advisors, lawyers and bankers. Again, very important to seek out folks with credentials, particularly in the shipping industry. I can't emphasize that point enough. The next is strategy, and this is from the highest of high levels. Select the rules of engagement. I've been harping on the U.S. style restructuring. Given the format of many of these loans, there's nothing that requires you to be in the United States. It's merely an option. But the point I would drive home again is that the folks who are now in this with you are going to prefer that style. If you say, I will never see you in the United States, I will never come to your shores and restructure my company, their likely response, and I've seen it firsthand, is that's fine. We love your ships. We will track them down. We will own them, and we will manage them ourselves. The good news, and I emphasize this, is that the U.S. approach is to reorganize around the existing assets and usually management, so there is a good opportunity to get a fresh start here if you play your cards right. I'm running low on time. A few very important points. Somebody has to continue to manage the business. Somebody needs to manage cash. Cash is king when you're running out. Failure to do these threatens the entire process. Develop a contingency plan. That's a Chapter 11 in all honesty, or in most cases, rather. It may become a necessity if your lenders get aggressive and you need it for a breathing spell, or it may be your means to implement a plan. And the last point here is you now have investors that you didn't select who may be your partners. The best way to ensure your own interests are served is maybe you can go out and find new or different money. It may not be the most attractive option to find some private equity or other fund, but at least you have a say in who you're going to work with. So I've come, I think, to the end. Implementation is really the last point. You don't want to go through this whole process and have it fail because you can't get it done and have it binding. The key point I'll leave you here with is that no matter what you do, you want to have a certainty of your ability to execute the restructuring transaction you've worked so hard to create over time. And I am over my time, speaking of. I don't know if I have time, Nicholas, for a question or two, or if there's